You are listening to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. We will be coming to you each and every day with uncensored, in-depth analysis of everything you need to know to win your fantasy leagues this season. You can follow us on Twitter at Fantasy Benefits or join the Facebook discussion groups www.facebook.com/groups/Friends of Fantasy Benefits. Give us a 5-star review on iTunes and send us a copy or screenshot of it to friendsoffantasybenefits@gmail.com or on Twitter at Fantasy Benefits for a chance to get into one of our listener leagues or other prizes. Enjoy the show. Welcome to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. I am Justin Mason, lead fantasy writer and analyst for friendsoffantasybenefits.com. Joining me on this mini pod is Matt Thompson. Matt, how you doing?
Pretty good. You excited, buddy?
I'm really nervous. This is like going to your grandma's house knowing you're about to get a really, really shitty Christmas gift, but you just got to sit there and smile. Because we are talking about my favorite team and their atrocious system that is the San Francisco Giants. You can reach Matt on Twitter at MDTopFWFB, me on Twitter at JustinMasonFWFB. Let's just pull this Band-Aid right off and go, all right, Matt, who is their top prospect?
It's Helio Ramos. I struggle to pronounce it. It's Helio Ramos or Helio Ramos or... For the purpose of the rest of this podcast, we're going to call him Ramos.
Okay.
Whether that's right or not, someone please correct me. But
I'll call him Ramos, so that way, like,
there we go. We'll cover
both bases covered.
There we go. There we go. But your boy is far and away the top talent in this system for me, and the only thing that would hold him back is his ETA. First round pick in this past draft, 19th overall. All he did in the Arizona League, rookie league, was hit .348, .404, .645 with 6 homers and 10 stolen bases.
Is that good?
Which is good work if you can get it, especially when you're 17 years old playing against 19-year-olds. So that's a pretty good line. I've seen a lot of people doubting it, though, because if you look underneath that number, you look at the BABIP and you see it's 500. Which 500 BABIP is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. But if you watch Ramos, he hits the ball extremely hard. And I'm not saying he hits the ball hard enough to consistently hit 500. But when you hit the ball hard, you're typically going to have high BABIP. See Paul DeJong, Randall Grichuk, Marcel Osuna. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Fam hit the ball hard. All those guys this last season were, as a Cardinal prospect, you know, I watch a lot of those guys, and they hit the ball hard, and that's what Ramos does. The ball jumps off the bat, barrels everything. You watch, you know, go down YouTube wormholes with him, and he doesn't miss pitches. You know, Chris Kusiolek, I butchered the crap out of that last name. He's a very good scout Follow him on Twitter. He goes to all the backfields in Arizona and stuff. It's Kaley Kusiolek, Kusiolek. Follow him on Twitter. He sits on a lot of the Giants ball, Arizona Rookie League games and extended spring training games out in Arizona. And he said he woke up one morning and went to watch the Giants game, and he watched Ramos hit one over the batter's eye in center field. And it was like he had this like picture as like the perfect morning because he saw that. And that just gives you the type of skills this guy has. He's going to be ballpark proof if everything breaks out right. So I'm not even worried about AT&T Park with him because he's just an animal. I think you're looking at a guy with potential ability to hit 260, 270, if not higher, with 20 homers and 20 stolen bases. And that's putting the power numbers light. He's a beautiful person, and it's fun to watch him play. Everything. I'm a bat speed whore. He's got it. I'm a power speed combination whore. He's got that. He walks decently enough. It's not great, but when you're hitting .348 with a 500 BABIP, I'm probably going to swing at everything too, because why wouldn't you? And being 17 years old against people way older than you, he's got enough skills to play center field. He just might get bigger. So you might have to move off of it. And my comp for him, I got two guys for you. Marcell Ozuna or Yoenis Cespedes, just by body type and being able to play, you know, pretty much center fielders that moved off of center field, not because they were bad, but because the organization had better alternatives, you know what I mean? Like Chris Yelich and Cespedes in Oakland and stuff. He played center field for a while out there, and he got traded to the Mets, and they had Juan Lagares, so he didn't play. You know what I mean? Now Cespedes has slowed down, and he's a little bit older, but and really isn't going to play center field. But, you know, you look at that now, Ramos is a center fielder for me. That's going to hit the middle of the lineup. He runs well, hits some thump. He's just amazing. If I have said enough adjectives about him already, I could still say more because I like him that much.
Do you think he's going to – I mean, right now he's kind of a speedy guy. Do you think he's going to stop stealing as many bases by the time he gets to the majors?
Probably, but, I mean, but then again, you got to bump the power uptick a little bit higher. So, yeah, I would bet on the speed disappearing a little bit. Hopefully, the only qualm I have with him playing in San Francisco is I don't know if he can play center field in that park because it's massive. Which isn't really a knock against him because how many center fielders can play good center field in San Francisco?
Not Denard Span.
Yeah, well, yeah. But, I mean, realistically, baseball, what? How many defensive center fielders are going to grade out well in AT&T?
Maybe five to seven.
Right? So saying he's not one of the five to seven is what it is. And a guy that can hit like that, anyways, you're going to want to move him to a corner to take the pressure off of that, keep him healthier. So I'm a big fan, and I think Marcell Ozuna is the best comp because I think the power can jump up to the 30, 35, 40 range, and he can be a plus defender in left field with an absolute cannon arm. If you couldn't tell, I'm on the Ramos train, and everyone else should be as well because this kid is going to take off. And if for right now, I would put him as one of my top five guys from the 2017 draft class.
Wow. Wow, so, that's a pretty impressive talk right there.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to something a little bit more depressing then. Let's talk about the rest of the Giants system. Any guys that are close to the major league level that we should keep an eye on?
Yeah, Chris Shaw. He's very similar, if you listen to the Detroit system, to Kristen Stewart, but I think he's got a better hit tool. Three outcome guy. Played first base primarily played first base only while he was at Boston College. He was first base only since he turned pro. Spent a little bit of time in left field while he was at BC. Giants put him back in left field this year as preparation for a potential early call-up. And I think, honestly, they'd be better off with Brandon Belt out there. You know, Clay Davenport runs those defensive projections for minor leagues. And he actually keeps track of, like, the runs saved and stuff like that for minor league numbers, which is incredible work. He had Chris Shaw as worth negative 17 runs out in left field last year in the minors. To put that in context, no major leaguer graded out that bad in the outfield last year. Negative 17 runs in the lowest priority defensive position on the diamond is incredible in a bad way. So I don't think he can play left field. But if he does play left field in San Francisco, and I don't mean this as a joke, I think he's probably the best offensive left fielder since Barry Bonds.
That hurts.
Would you argue with that?
That hurts my soul.
Would you argue with that? I mean,
Pat Burrell was pretty good there for
okay,
a minute.
Okay, I forgot about Pat Burrell.
And Michael Morse had, you know, a decent year.
Yeah. You're stretching a little bit, yeah. But I don't blame you. But the thing with Shaw, above average raw, so and a good walk rate. So that gives you a little bit of a high floor, especially in a power-starved organization like the Giants. They need thump worse than probably anybody. Left-handed swinger doesn't have platoon issues. I project him as a 250-ish hitter, OBP around 310, 315 with 20 homers out of the gate. If he gets time, I think ultimately he can turn that into a little bit more, but the upside isn't that immense. He's kind of like Kristen Stewart and him kind of being a finished product for what they are. The thing with Stewart is he has the DH to his advantage, and the Giants can't use that for Chris Shaw. So what I would do is when Shaw deems himself ready, I would put him at first and put Brandon Belt in the outfield. I know that's probably not an appealing stance, but that's what I would do as far as that goes. But NL only leaguers should take a shot on Shaw.
I'm just going to say, I think the Giants will be doing a little bit of that anyways this year. They re-signed Nick Hundley, and they're going to be putting,
right.
I think, putting Posey more at first and putting Belt out into left field, you know, maybe to spell Hunter Pence. And, you know, if Pence is – it starts off well to start the year. Maybe they move Pence, and then in the second half they're splitting time between Shaw and Belt out there.
I'm going to ask you a question. Do you think Shaw, for the next 2 years, would you rather have Shaw or Jared Parker in left field?
I mean, I would rather have Shaw. Both are rough defensively anyway, so give me the guy who's got a higher upside bat.
Right, and Shaw doesn't need a platoon as of right now, and Parker does. But the upside isn't all that great, but he's close to the majors, and he's going to produce power, which is easy to find right now in the fantasy landscape. But I think with a guy that's going to play every day, he probably hit in the sixth or seventh spot, so he might have some value. I guess from the pitching side of things, I'm sure everyone's tired of hearing about Tyler Beedy, but he's close to the majors again. He goes by the rap name Young Beta. If you have a rapper slash fantasy baseball league, then he's probably worthy of a top pick or so in that league. But Beatty is a guy that kind of gets dinged a little bit because people don't like the arsenal as much. But I think the fastball is a plus pitch. I mean, he puts it where he wants, can manipulate it. He would have got a call up last year. He would have got a September call up last year, but he had a groin injury that ended the season. He had a really bad year if you just look at the numbers in the PCL, but again, you don't really know what people are working on. Because if you want to cite, oh, he had a bad year in the PCL in 2017, well, he led the Eastern League in ERA in 2016. So what do you know what I mean? I know that's a gigantic pitcher's park, the biggest one in the minor leagues, actually. But if you lead the league in ERA, you lead the league in ERA. You can't really find too much fault in that.
The Giants don't have any reason to not give him a shot at this point. They're potentially going to be rolling out Ty Block. I mean, I like Chris Stanton, but Ty Block is not a good pitcher. And, you know, so, I mean, there's no reason why Beattie shouldn't be slotting in at the number four slot with Matt Moore now gone.
Agree with this. And he's got every opportunity, and he's not the guy that you're going to play service time games with because the upside's not immense. You know what I mean? And the Giants just seem to be competing this year, because if they weren't, they'd be
attempting to
And so if they're going to try to scratch and claw everything they can out of that roster, I wouldn't be surprised if Beattie makes the rotation out of spring training. But like, the arsenal's great. The command needs to be a little bit tighter. Again, look past the numbers. What I like about Beattie the most from a fantasy landscape is he's a heavy, heavy ground ball heavy ground ball pitcher. And with Brandon Crawford behind you, in shortstop, that's gotta be great. And then you want to be a ground ball pitcher in San Francisco because the outfield is so big, a lot of things will drop in. I like Beattie. He should be up fairly quickly. The upside is not immense, but is usable. Who else for this year? Steven Duggar, we talked about him a little bit. Had a very injury-riddled season this year, only played 44 games with hip and arm injuries. They sent him to the Fall League to make up some of that lost time. Hit 279, 383, 441, which is very nice showing in limited time. Left-handed swinger, has the kind of leadoff hitter skill set. 262, 365, 445 was the line this year in AAA. 6 homers, 10 stolen bases in 44 games. That's pretty nice numbers. He's a high baseball IQ guy. Average foot speed, but his IQ makes it play up on the bases. So he's a little bit better than that. He's the prototypical Giants prospect, is what I wrote in my write-up, because he does everything except hit for power. So that's the Giants.
Thanks for that.
That's the Giants prospects and organization philosophy in a nutshell. It's like the Twins not striking out guys. The Giants don't hit for power. The Twins pitchers all had like 6.5 K per nine for years. Yeah, that's the Giants with their power output now. But Shaw should change that, and You know, Duggar's not going to do anything to change that, but Duggar is a very nice prospect. I like him. He's my favorite sleeper in this system. He's major league ready, practically, and he's not getting enough publicity out there because he has a high floor due to the defense and the speed. I think he could be a poor man's Adam Eaton with playing time. I like him that much. Probably in the minority on that, but I do think he has an avenue for playing time, especially with the way these. We talked a little bit off air. They're going to add a center fielder somewhere, it feels like. And I think ultimately they seem to be trying to trade for Billy Hamilton, but the Reds want Ramos.
Yeah, so, which I don't think the Giants are willing to do at this point.
No, the Giants, from what everything I've read, wouldn't even include Ramos in the Stanton trade. He still wasn't. It was Shaw, Beatty, and I'm forgetting somebody else. That was
Ryder Jones and Christian Arroyo.
Right. Those are the guys in the trade. That's right. That's right. And you know, they had Fastlane giving up Ramos and doing that deal, so they're not going to trade him for Billy Hamilton. Ultimately, what I think they do is they probably sign someone like a Jared Dyson or something to play center, which would be fine, but it's not good for Duggar because he's also a left-handed swinger. Mm-hmm. So I think if you can find a right-handed version of that player and platoon him with Duggar, I think you might have something there because it keeps Duggar fresh and hopefully lets him go. I guess another guy that's going to play a little bit this year, according to, because they haven't upgraded the roster, is Austin Slater. Do you have any thoughts on what you saw from him last year? He hits.
Yeah.
I like him. He hits.
But, I mean, like, to me, is he that much different than a Joe Panic or
No. He's a Giants-type prospect.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But, like, they've got a million of those guys, so... Like, you know, I'm part of the Prospect 361 group. You are too on Facebook. It's fantastic. They call it the bullpen. Tim McLeod for based out of his podcast, and like people were going crazy over him last year. I'm like, yeah, he's not
right.
Fantasy relevant. He could be like a nice little real life player, but as a fantasy guy, like. He's not even NL-only relevant for me.
I think he's a hell of a DFS play, to be honest with you. Just because, I'm going to know the numbers a little bit. He was up in the with the Giants last year. He's a right-handed swinger. He's from Stanford, which is important because I'll get to that in a second. He showed off the hit tool last year, 282, 339, 402, and 117 at-bats. Hit lefties, though, 333, 368, 444. And while at AAA... he hit lefties to 361, 410, 583. So that's a DFS play if I ever saw one, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, and that's the type of thing you can get out of here. And he went to Stanford. So, you know, ever heard of the Stanford swing? It's a thing that Stanford, what they do is, I was listening to an interview with Stephen Piscotty about this. He went to Stanford, and I've heard of the Stanford swing with other players. Stanford swing is if the college doesn't think you're an elite hitter, they force this approach on you. So Slater has fallen victim to that. Piscotty said he didn't because the coaching staff there let him do what he wanted. Why wouldn't you? He was a good hitter. Slater kind of fell into that Stanford swing thing, which actually worked out better for him. But what it does is, I think Slater has above average raw power, but it's not going to let him tap into it because what the Stanford swing does is it focuses you on hitting balls the opposite way. Hit line drives to – he's a right-handed hitter, so hit line drives to right field. I don't know about you, but I don't know about many right-handed hitters that are hitting the ball out of San Francisco to right field.
No, none. I mean, and definitely not him.
Right, and that's not a knock on him. It's just not a thing that happens very often. And I think the Stanford swing, for him it might work because it plays up the hit tool. But the power projection is never going to reach the potential. Just the power output is never going to reach the potential because of that. But, I mean, if you hit 321 in your small sample like you did with five homers, had a little bit of stolen bases before, what are you going to change? I think he's good for what he is. He's an NL deep league NL only. If you're in a 30-team mixed league, he's a nice guy to have. I know a lot of you guys, if you're listening to a fantasy baseball podcast in January, probably play in 30-team leagues. Mm-hmm. So that's a name to file away because he's going to get at-bats. The Giants haven't addressed their needs. I like another guy. I shouldn't like this guy, but I do. Miguel Gomez. He was up a little bit last year. He didn't do much of anything. But he's just hits. His career slash line in the minors, 312, 348, 465. Doesn't walk a lot. He's earned a Pablo Sandoval comp, so I'm sure you love that. That's from Bruce Bochy himself. So, you know, baseball guy. His back, Gomez has the similar skills. He started his career as a catcher, moved to first, doesn't have enough power for that, moved to third. Now he's playing primarily second base, which he's a bad defensive player, but he has good offensive skills, but doesn't seem like a player the Giants are going to use, because if you don't play defense, I feel like defense is their first priority there.
It can be, and then they can totally just laugh it off.
Right, yeah. Which in the outfield they're going to have to at some point this year.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. Like, you know,
infield they take it seriously, I feel like. Unless you're a franchise icon like Pablo Sandoval and get to come back. But I think that's hysterical. He hits a walk-off home run the last day of the season and you lose the number one pick.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Dick.
I think that is just – how do you let that happen? Like, when you know you're that close to number one pick, wouldn't you be like, hey – Tyler Beattie, I know you've been sitting at home for like a month. I know you're going to be on the roster anyways next year, so I'm not worried about starting your clock. Do you want to come up and make a start?
They let Matt Cain make a start.
That's right, because it was his farewell tour.
Yeah,
that's right.
And he won a game. They were like, listen, we can give Matt Cain a start. You know, give him a little like farewell type thing. And there's no way he's going to win a game for us. So, like, that's like win-win. We'll lock up that pick before the last day of the season. And, you know, and of course, they win their last two to lose the number one pick. But, you know, Tigers will fuck that one up. So I'm not too worried about it.
Right. And look, you know, the last couple of drafts have proven the best player doesn't go number one anymore anyways because teams play the bonus game. But, I mean, that's as far as major league ready guys on the Giants.
Okay, what about some sleeper guys then?
Let me see. Let me find my guy. I like Jacob Gonzalez, who was a second-round pick this year, so he's not really a sleeper. He's Luis Gonzalez's son from Arizona Diamondbacks. Plays third base, probably going to have to move to first. He's got a plus hit tool. What about he's got an average hit tool, I should say, plus raw power, average hit tool, and they both play up because his batting eye is ridiculous. It's outstanding. 339, 418, 458. Only hit one home run in pro ball, trying to adjust to wood bats. So he's a guy to follow. Heath Quinn, if he gets it together, I'm still in on that bandwagon. I still think the power speed combination are something to follow. He's going to be next year. He's going to be playing in Double A Richmond, which don't pay attention to the stat line. Just pay attention to gameplay. That's all you need for Heath Quinn. He's missed a lot of time the last couple of years due to injuries. In May, he missed time with a shoulder injury. Then he had a DL stint later on in the season because of that. He only played 75 games, but he still had 10 home runs with a bad shoulder. I'll bet on that. You know what I mean? I'll bet on that getting a little better. And he stole bases in college. He has zero career stolen bases or three career steals in the pro ball. So I shouldn't say power speed. I don't think the speed is going to be part of his game. But Heath Quinn is a guy I like to follow. And again, he's going to play next year at Double A. Which is the worst park in the majors. I cannot stress this enough. It is the worst park in the majors for hitters, Double A Richmond. So do not pay attention to the numbers. Pay attention to the games played. Heath Quinn is a guy to scoop up that's not getting talked about.
All right. Anybody else you want to mention before we wrap this up?
I'm excited to watch your Rule 5 guy, Julian Fernandez, this year. He's a reliever, but he got clocked as hot as 104 miles an hour.
And the Giants could definitely use... you know, a little bit of added boost to the bullpen. So there is unless something happens where they jump out to some sort of lead in division or play really, really well to start the year and Fernandez is awful, they'll probably keep him on the roster all year.
Right. Yeah, definitely. Seth Corey and Sean Anderson are two very different, nice pitchers and starting pitchers that will probably be mid-rotation profile. Garrett Williams, Joan Gregario, another starting pitchers with mid-rotation profile. Sandro Fabian's a young, very young outfielder that hits the ball hard but has no approach. Eric Longenhagen sat in on Giants instructs, and he recorded multiple exit velocities over 100 miles an hour from Fabian. So that's a guy to follow. But again, he doesn't walk, so it's kind of iffy. Melvin Adon, probably relief pitcher, but he has an 80-grade fastball, 95-98 with crazy movement. So follow him. That might be his only pitch in the bag. Andrew Suarez is a typical crafty 4-5 pitch lefty that should probably be in the rotation now, but won't be. Brian Reynolds, everyone's favorite guy from Vanderbilt. I like him a lot. No real standout tool. 21% line drive rate, so he hits the ball hard. Switch hitter, does well both sides. Needs to make a long launch angle adjustment. Hits the ball on the ground too much. If he's going to tap into that power, he's probably just a 12 to 15 homer guy now. If he makes an adjustment, he can get into the 20s, and you're really talking. But 275 is my peak projection on a batting average with him, 12 to 15 stolen bases, and depending on what he does with the power. But I like Brian Reynolds.
All right. Well, that's going to wrap us up. It was very depressing for me, so hopefully it was less depressing for you.
I tried to put a bow on it for you.
Yeah, I can't believe we went 25 minutes on Giants prospects.
Yeah, we were expecting to go about 12. But yeah.
You can reach Matt on Twitter at MDTomFWFB, me on Twitter at JustinMasonFWFB. That is going to wrap us up for this episode. For Matt and myself, thank you for listening. Have a fantastic baseball season.